The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Bhattaka Swami on January 14, 1986 at Madras, India.
Chalang Pangulangayati Giringatri Patamahang Bandi Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Padamanandhamadhavam Sri Chaitanya Iswaram. So on the last day of our auspicious transcendental festival of C.C. Jagannath Subhadra Balaram Ratha Yatra here in Madras, it's a very joyful occasion, very auspicious occasion that we're able to observe a fire sacrifice, at which time persons will be accepting pre-initiation, initiation blessings, which briefly His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj has explained. The Vedic literatures have given us various paths and various means, various angles of vision to understand what is this world, what is beyond this world. Four Vedas primarily tell us what are the various rituals we can perform to elevate ourselves to the higher planetary systems or Swarga Lokas. The Upanishads, of which the Gita Upanishad or Bhagavad Gita is considered the cream, they tell us about the higher spiritual objective of life, which is to achieve liberation. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there is also the message that of all forms of liberation, the achievement of devotional service or bhakti yoga is considered to be the most sublime method. So this is further expanded in the Puranas, where the practice of devotional service is explained. And that is explained in great detail, especially in the Bhagavad Puranam, where the science of devotional service to Krishna and the glories of Krishna are very elaborately explained. Right from the very beginning stages to the transcendental pastimes of Krishna in the 10th skanda, and to other evaluations of devotional service in the 11th and 12th skandhas. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advises us we should not become enamored by the flowery words of the Vedas, which tell us by doing certain rituals, we'll get so many nice cows, we'll get so many various types of benefits. We should rather fix our mind on the higher purpose of life. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sahasreshu manushanam kashchid yadati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin maaveti tattvataha. That out of 1,000 people, one person is interested in knowing what is the purpose of life. And out of thousands of such persons, interested parties, one person is able to understand what is the purpose of life. And out of such knowing persons, out of 1,000 of them, one is able to actually achieve the Absolute, or to achieve liberation or realization of the Self. And of such self-realized souls, it's very rare to find a pure devotee of Krishna. So yesterday in Hindu, the report on our science, World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and Religion, they gave a report in which the Vice President of the World Council of Churches, he mentioned that some of the spiritual organizations are only concerned with that 1 of 1,000 people who are interested in spiritual life. What about all the other people who are not interested? And he implied that Christianity was concerned with those who are not interested in spiritual life. So, that is correct, that we are interested in those people who are interested in spiritual life, but we are also interested in those who are not interested, to interest them. Not to let them remain in the animalistic level of life, but to uplift them. So although Krishna said that 1 of 1,000 is interested, and out of 1 of those 1,000, someone is actually able to understand, we are in the possession of a secret which can break this bias. We have got a secret weapon. That is the mercy of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he predicted that by this chanting of Hare Krishna, you can deliver all of the people, especially those people who normally would not get the opportunity. They get the opportunity by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The 1 of 1,000 of 1 of 1,000, those are regular customers. So to get the new customers, some special facility has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like now during Pongal, we're seeing in the newspapers on the street special advertisement, rebate, 40%, 20%, 30% discount. This is not to attract the regular customer. Regular customer is regular. You don't have to attract them. They're coming anyway. This is to attract the new customers. So, in this age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya is offering a special bonus, special discount. Normally you had to do so much meditation, so much austerity and tapasya, so many yajnas and so many sanskaras, and so many different kind of rituals and penances in order to achieve spiritual advancement. But in this age of Kali, where it's practically not possible to do the karmakanda rules properly, so the road to swarga is practically not open to begin with, and people are not so austere to achieve moksha, which requires a tremendous sannyasi type of attitude. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given the opportunity to directly achieve Krishna bhakti, which automatically includes all other lower stages. That automatically gives one all the options. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Purana, which states, Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udara ditti brena bhakti yogena deta purusham param. That if one has got akamo, no desire, no desire does not mean literally no desire, because nobody can have no desire. Then if we had no desire, we would not be people, we'd be stones. No desire means no independent desire from Krishna. Akamo means that you are desiring only the things which Krishna desires. This is a perfectional stage. Just like Arjuna, he had a separate desire to leave the battlefield and to become a beggar and to do so many things, when he presented his desire to Krishna, that I don't want to fight, I don't like this fighting, I don't like this violence, I don't want to see the loved ones of mine killed, and their blood, if I achieve this kingdom, there will be no happiness at all for me. Better that I leave the battlefield and don't have to see this unnecessary shed of blood. So I'm very confused about all these things. What I should do, what I shouldn't do. I'm bewildered about my duty. I surrender myself to you, Krishna, as your disciple. You are now my guru. Now please tell me what I should do. So this actually, at that time, then Krishna advised him that you can fight or you cannot fight, and that what will be their result, that this is a punya, this is the pap, this is what you should do according to the material standard. Then he said, but higher than that, if you fight on behalf of me as a devotee, because it's my desire, then I'll directly give you protection and I'll make sure that you come to me. So that means that Arjuna, he had got desire, but then his desire, when it came one with Krishna's desire, that was considered akama. Not that to fight in a battlefield, he definitely had a desire, but his desire became how to please Krishna. Krishna wants me to fight, I'll fight for that. For his own sake, he didn't care to fight. But when he understood this is Krishna's desire and my duty is to please Krishna, then he became akama. Not that he became desireless not to desire. So when someone says that to be a devotee you have to give up all material desire, this does not mean that we no longer desire anything. Desires are there, but they are purified. That purification happens over a period of time. Just like Arjuna, his grandson was Parikshit, to whom the Bhagavad Purana was spoken. He had desire for children. He had desire for so many things. But because he had his desires purified, his child was a great devotee, or his grandson was a great devotee. Grandson only came from the children. And so on. So in this way, the devotee has desires. He may have desire to achieve certain objectives. But gradually, by taking advice from spiritual master and association from more advanced devotees and Vaishnavas, those desires become purified, so that whether one is in the grihastha life, or whether one is in a renounced stage of life, or whatever stage one may be in, gradually the desires become in harmony with Krishna's own version. Then that person becomes akama. Not that the desire less means that one has to leave the material world. One leaves the material world in another higher subtle sense. Not visibly, but in a higher sense of karma responsibility, that Krishna takes charge of such a person who only acts on his behalf. So that's one category, akamo. The other category is sarvakamo, that someone may be having all material desires, may want to be a great movie star, or a big politician, or prime minister, or may just not have such big desire, but he may desire just have so many material comforts and material things. That is also one type of person that you find in this material world in great abundance. So, third category is called mokshakami. That means he's desiring to achieve liberation from the material world. There's a difference between mokshakami and akami. Mokshakami is not technically a devotee in the purest sense. Because that mokshakami also wants liberation, independent liberation, that's not a devotional desire. They want liberation for themselves. So this means they want to end all the suffering of the material world and experience the joy of ending this material suffering and merging into the existence of the Lord, something like that. We have three categories of person: desireless, desireful, and desiring to end it all by achieving liberation. So You might think that there should be three different activities for three different persons, but not according to this authoritative statement of Vyasadeva. He said, akamo, sarvakamo, mokshakamo, udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena jijeta purushan param. That all of these three, they should all engage in devotional service. They should all engage in devotional service and they will achieve all their desired results and they'll achieve the highest perfection in the end. The method is universal. Sometimes you find someone advertised medicine. If you take this medicine, it will cure your cancer, TB, skin disease, hair falling out, teeth, cavities, and so on and so forth. But no one believes in such a universal cure. But such cures are often presented in the public. But this is actually the universal cure for all various stages of people, is to render devotional service. Without putting any condition on that service, you render the service and whatever you desire, that will be given. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was not a pure devotee. He was a devotee with some desire in his heart. But he was seeking out Narayana. Finally, when he found Narayana, Narayana knew that what he wanted. He wanted to achieve a kingdom greater than Indra, greater than Brahma. So in this way, Narayana said that now I'm going to give you your own planet and there you can be the absolute ruler. And that planet will never perish even when the universe is finished. So therefore, your planet will be greater than Indra's or anyone else's in this universe. But then Dhruva Maharaj said that I wanted these things before, but now that I've seen you, I realize that my desires were very insignificant, very petty, very small, that I was desiring a broken glass. Instead, I got the Kohinoor diamond. I got the greatest diamond. So what will I do with the broken glass? Now that I have the diamond, now that I have you, I want to simply engage in your service and to have your satsang always. So this way, the devotee gets... that time that I said, no, you had this desire, so for 36,000 years you have uninterrupted absolute rule. And then after that, you can come to me and I'll live with you on your planet. So, that time Dhruva was resenting that because I desired like that, I got it. And certainly he got everything he desired. But that time he was hoping that he could get back to Krishna earlier. So those who have desire, they'll definitely get their desire satisfied. But that time, then if they get purified, they may be thinking that this desire that I had was very insignificant, and if I can only get to Krishna sooner, that will be better. So that way, they get their material desire satisfied. At the same time, their consciousness is fixed in going back to Krishna, so there's very little danger of them falling down again into the material repetition of birth and death. So this is the only safe method for achieving one's desires, and at the same time, going back to the ultimate safety of the Parampadam, or the supreme destination in the spiritual world. So, this process of devotional service, therefore, is for everyone. Whether one still feels that, well, I have some desire, or whether someone feels that I don't have any other desire, I simply want to serve Krishna, or whether someone thinks that I want to simply achieve liberation and stop the suffering in the material world. Whatever may be their attitude, they should all engage in this process of bhakti, devotional service. So, but one, as Bhanu Swami has mentioned, the process of engaging in devotional service is that one should surrender to Krishna, not simply in some imaginary way, but through our authorized process. That means we approach a bona fide spiritual master and we become surrendered to that spiritual master, following the instructions of the spiritual master, and finally taking from him a complete shelter. Just as Arjuna, as I mentioned, He went to Krishna and said that you are the guru now, I am your disciple, now you give me guidance. So this is the duty of a person aspiring to advance in spiritual life, that they should approach the spiritual master and place themselves before the spiritual master as a student, as a disciple, and request the spiritual master to kindly give me guidance. Otherwise, you know how it is in the material world. If someone is going around giving other people advice, that may not be appreciated. Someone may say that, who is this person? Why is he always telling me what to do? My life is my business, and so on and so forth. This is a modern attitude, you see. So we don't generally go around and give people advice. If they ask us, then we tell them. So this process of Krishna Sevak, if there was someone is formally saying, no, I want your advice, I want your guidance, I am your disciple, I am your student, I accept you as my spiritual guide and instructing spiritual master, please give me guidance so that I can make further advancement, because I'm in need of such blessings and guidance, and because I believe in Krishna, I believe in this process of devotional service, and therefore I want to advance in it as best I can, and for that I need the guidance of a spiritual master, so please give me this guidance. Taking of the Harinam initiation is not the end of the line. That is another stage. That stage is when a person, after going through the other preliminary stages, becomes firmly convinced that, yes, I want to do this in a full way for the rest of my life and forever. And I feel confident that I can follow all of the instructions of the spiritual master as he gives them. When that type of commitment is there, then one takes the Harinam Diksha. And after taking Harinam Diksha, then there are further stages like the Brahminical or Pancharatrik Diksha. And then finally, the ultimate objective is that we reach the Paramhamsa stage, or the stage of pure bhakti, which goes beyond all formal samskaras, but which is the fruit of surrendering to Guru and to Krishna. So until we reach that stage of complete pure devotion, we should never become complacent or think that now, because I have undergone so many samskaras, therefore now I have got the qualification that now I don't have to try anymore. Rather, the samskaras are to give us more strength to go on and to reach the higher stages. They're also to protect us from going down lower into degrading situations. They are a type of protection for us. But we have to never become lazy or complacent and stop to try making progress. We should rather be always enthusiastic and patient, being very convinced that if I follow this process, I will definitely become successful and be able to achieve the highest goal of life. So, the Krishna Sevak means one has this conviction that Krishna is the Iswaraha Paramaha Krishnaha, that He is the Eternal Lord, He is the Absolute Truth, and that His devotional service is the highest of all religious practices. This is mentioned in the Bhagavad Purana, mentioned in all the various Vedas. In Bhagavad it says, Svai pungsanga paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaja ahaitu kya pratihata yayatma supersedati. That of all the religious principles for the human being, the process of pure devotion to adhokshaja, to Vishnu, to Krishna, which is free from any condition or material material condition, and which is uninterrupted. And that pure devotional service is completely satisfying to the self. So this pure devotion, it is glorified as the highest form of spiritual practice, the perfection of life. So when one has the conviction that I can understand that this Krishna bhakti is the highest perfection, I want to achieve that, then they go to the spiritual master for guidance, and then they prepare themselves to gradually achieve that objective. We should always try to make steps forward, not try to make steps backward. Sometimes we may not be able to go forward as quickly as we would like, but we should at least maintain whatever level we achieve, and from there we should go. You see, the difference between pre-initiation and initiation is only this, that an initiation is someone follows all of the requirements, we make a guarantee that they will not take birth again in the material world. That the spiritual master is obligated to somehow or another get them to Krishna, and he has to take all of the responsibility for their karma, so long as they follow his instructions. The pre-initiation, that's to whatever extent, because pre-initiation means that there may not be a full involvement, there's a partial involvement. To whatever extent you follow, to that extent you will get the shelter of Krishna and be able to advance. That is the guarantee. And you will be protected from having to take, from going bad downward in your spiritual life if you follow the principles. You'll gradually be able to progress and go higher. So the Harinam is a type of oasis where, just as when people are running in cricket from one, what do they call that, the wicket, but by the wicket there's one area you have to stand in, the crease. You have to get to the crease, otherwise you can be called out. So if you get the full shelter, then you're in the crease, you're safe. Then you have to stay there, of course. Otherwise, while you're still running in the material world, you can, at any moment when death comes, that time you can get called out. Unless you're at that time, if you're able to remember Krishna, then you're all right. You've got your back in the crease. If you don't remember Krishna at that time, well, for your service, you're guaranteed that you'll get another chance in the future. You see, it's not that the game is over. You can still get a second inning. You see, for those who don't want a second inning in the material world, they want in the first inning just to win the game and go back to Godhead, then you can gradually come to that platform, and that is our ultimate objective. So anyway, we want that people, this is a bit frivolous example, but since everyone is, this is cricket season and people may be knowing about cricket, so we should communicate in those forms that people can relate to. I'm just giving that example. The Krishna sadhak is a person who's already been practicing the devotional service and becoming regular in the practice of it. And so they're in the home stretch. They're getting pretty regulated, and they're almost qualified for initiation, for the Harinam. So again, go on. So it's something like this, that we're trying to be 100% God conscious. But when we start, we may be 10%, then we come 20%. And even when we actually, to achieve 100%, we find that the Radharani, or the greatest of all the consorts of Krishna, the supreme of all the goddesses of fortune or Lakshmis, that although she is 100% Krishna conscious, but she considers herself to be less than 100%. So So the devotee always is thinking that I'm not 100%. I have still some more percent to go. So in this way, the devotee is always refining 99.99, and actually after a certain point, they're 100%. But from their viewpoint, they're always trying to increase the purity. So even if we get to be 70%, there's enough that we can go back to Godhead. But we always try for 100%. Then maybe we can reach 70, 80. Just like someone, if they try to get 100% in their exam, then they may at least get pass-fail. But if they think, let me just get pass-fail, they may also fail. We shouldn't try for pass-fail. We should try for 100% and gradually come up to that mark. Then at least if we get pass-fail, then after by Krishna's mercy, we can automatically come up to the full perfectional stage. So, all of these ceremonies are completely voluntary, and the commitments which are made are totally up to the individual person. No one should feel any obligation, either spoken or implied, that they have to take any of these ceremonies. This is totally up to one's own individual desire for advancing higher in Krishna consciousness and for achieving real happiness in life. So if there's anyone that feels that this type of spiritual commitment is too difficult, or it's not one is not ready, then there's no need of being being ashamed or anything else. One doesn't have to participate at all. It's a totally voluntary. So if there's anyone that has any doubts about any of these things, or any questions if anyone has. Anyone has any questions? Yes? You're not taking anything. Well, many of the Krishna sadhaks live in the temple. The ones who live outside, they try to, they're actually dedicated to worship Krishna. Those are sadhaks. The sevaks and sadhaks, two levels. The sadhaks mean that they're already dedicated to worshiping Krishna. So when they are not able to attend Krishna in the temple, then they'll try to worship Krishna in their home or in their hostel or wherever they are. So that means that as far as possible, whenever they get the opportunity, they should naturally go to temple and associate with the other devotees. There's no fixed rule that every third day or every week, or we haven't made it a mechanical rule, because there may be so many individual cases where someone may be reading in a college far from the city, or maybe a husband or a family may be living off in some different place. There may be no temple that they can attend like that. But they're chanting in their home and they're practicing and worshipping Krishna in their house and offering their prasad to their picture of Krishna. These techniques, they should learn how to worship Krishna in the home if they're living outside. And they should make their home into a temple. But then they should also take the strength and blessing from the more advanced devotee, and as much as possible, I would just recommend that if they're living, at least once in a week they should come, if they're living nearby a temple, and if possible, they can even come daily, or they can come as far as possible. You see, that would depend upon the communication and other factors. In other words, a person should never avoid going to the temple if they have opportunity to do so. Just like, say, someone is living next door to the temple and they don't have to go to work till 8:30. There's no reason why they couldn't attend the Mangal Arati in the temple every day. You see, we should take advantage as much as possible of the Krishna conscious association we can get. you see. We should always try to take the positive alternative. If we have two alternatives, whether I should get up in the morning early or whether I should sleep, we should try to take the positive alternative, get up early, if otherwise we have sufficient rest. We should have let me just sleep 2 hours longer when it's not necessary. Let me go to temple if I'm able.